There was a bunch of confusion this week on my part. The scripture that you're going to be reading this morning is not Matthew chapter 1. It is Luke chapter 1. And I'd like you to turn there, if you would, with me. We're going to start with verse 26. Some people have asked me how I feel. I feel a whole lot better. I still have a little bit of the frog in my throat, which is good because my voice is still lower. However, Ron Jeffers told me that I have to start out with a joke. And so here's your joke, Ron, for the day. The last two Sundays, my sermons have been really short. Till today. I have two sermons I got to make up today, so there's your joke. Yeah, sorry. What's that? What did he say? All right, let's start with Luke chapter 1. Boy, next week, of course, is Christmas Eve and Christmas Sunday, and then following that, we'll start 2017, and the theme for 2017 is I am fifth. I am fifth, and so we're going to spend the whole year looking at the idea of I am fifth, and hopefully you'll be here January 1st to hear what that's all about. Let's start with verse 26 and read to the end of a very familiar passage, I know. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. And Father, as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture, and as we look at a very important part of the Christmas story, an important part of Christianity this morning, I pray that you'll give us clarity. Help us to understand. Help us to grasp the truth that we'll be talking about this morning. And then help us to realize its importance in our faith. We have set the groundwork for the last 2 weeks of looking at a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. We've looked at the names of Jesus. And today, as we look at who he is and why this truth is so important, I pray that you'll just give us an opening, an enlightenment, and an awareness that Jesus is more than a man. That he is not just our Savior, he is the Son of God. And so I pray for understanding. And then I pray that you'll find open hearts this morning. And thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for these folks who have come out on a day like today. And I believe that as the scripture says, your word will not return void. And so speak to each one of us. And then I pray that as I bring the message, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Imagine, if you would, that first day that Mary and Joseph look at Christ. Do you think that for the first time that they really knew what they were getting themselves into? I don't. But imagine, if you would, that the angels have announced this birth, and it has been an announcement unlike any other announcement. The people or the prophecies have been foretold and have been now fulfilled. There's been no conception like this before and ever since. Do you think they really understood that what they have just experienced is a miracle? I have a stinking suspicion, probably not. But the truth is this, folks, that the whole Christmas story, the whole Christ story, rises and falls on what I am considering, what I'm talking about this morning, and that's the virgin birth. I believe that that is the crux of the whole Christmas story, because if you can somehow wipe out the virgin birth, you can wipe out Christianity. You can wipe out that Jesus is more than just a man, that he is not the Son of God. And what the question is if the birth is the result of two people's passion, then there is nothing different about the birth of Christ than the birth of each one of us. But what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is, if he is truly a product of a miracle, which I believe, he stands head and shoulders above everybody else. And so that's what I want to focus on this morning, because I believe, as I prayed and as I talked, that this one matter sets Jesus apart from every other man. That he was born of a virgin, and that we celebrate that this time of the year. The last 2 weeks we've set the groundwork that the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you'll give his name, call him Emmanuel, and Matthew adds, which means God with us. And last week we looked at the names of Jesus and how he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But it all means nothing if Jesus is no different than every other man. So let's take a look at the virgin birth, and we're gonna be kind of here but not here in Luke chapter 1, because there is one really important section that I am going to bring out. But I want to first of all look at, why is the virgin birth so important? Why is it so important? I found this quote, and I have used it before, but and maybe you remember it, maybe you've heard it before, but there are enough new people that we need to kind of reiterate this whole thing. And here's the quote: no other fact in the Christmas story is more important than the virgin birth. The virgin birth must have happened exactly the way the scripture says. Otherwise, Christmas has no point at all. If Jesus is simply the illegitimate child of Mary's infidelity, or even if he's the child of Joseph's natural marital union with Mary, he's not God. And if he's not God, then his claims are lies. And if his claims are lies, his salvation is a hoax. And if his salvation is a hoax, what? We're all doomed. J.I. Packer is a theologian. He's about 97, 98 years old now. He wrote a book called Knowing God. And in that book, he made this quote: the supreme mystery the gospel confronts us with is not the Good Friday message of the atonement, nor an Easter message of the resurrection, but in the Christmas message of the incarnation. We said it before, if there is no incarnation, if there is no Christmas, there is no Easter. And yes, the Easter is the culmination of all of that, but it starts with this miraculous birth called the virgin birth, a miraculous birth called the incarnation. Down through the years, attacks have been made on the virgin birth. We've listened to blasphemy. We've listened to mockery. We've listened to silence. We've listened to pure tomfoolery. We've listened to lies. And one prominent pastor even said, I could not in print or in public deny or affirm the virgin birth of Christ. He might as well have been challenging, in my mind, no matter how subtle he was trying to be, he was challenging the virgin birth, because he was saying, I cannot affirm or deny the virgin birth. Folks, you cannot be on the fence with this thing. You either believe it or you don't. There is no fence riding. Do you understand the virgin birth? Probably not. But is it optional or irrelevant? No. And as I said, we've made all attempts to do everything we can. We've mocked it. We've blasphemed it. We've silenced it. We've tried to silence it. We've tried to deny it. I have a blogging friend from this community who says that the virgin birth is on the level of Greek mythology. And when you follow that through, as I tried to study, you follow it through, Greek mythology leads to the Egyptians, which leads to the Chinese, which leads to Buddhism, which leads to Muslim. And if you look at the virgin birth as nothing more than a mythology, you have nothing to stand on. The virgin birth is an underlying assumption in everything the Bible says about Jesus, point blank. To throw out the virgin birth, folks, is to reject Jesus' deity. You throw out the virgin birth, you have to throw out the accuracy and the authority of the Scripture. Period. But to me, there is no issue more important, especially at this time of the year, but establishing the foundation, than the virgin birth and the understanding who Jesus is. Very plainly put, if you deny that Jesus is God, we have denied the very essence of Christianity. We've said that he's no more than just another man if we deny the virgin birth. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to say that. You see, the very essence of Christianity is that Jesus Christ is different. That he is not just a way to God. He is the way. That he is different from Muhammad, and he is different from Buddha, and all the other religious leaders who weren't able to say, follow me because I am the way. They said, follow me and I will take you there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what set him apart was this very truth, was the virgin birth. Everything else the Bible teaches about Jesus hinges on this truth of Scripture, and this truth of Christmas is that Jesus is God in human flesh. Consider what Peter did. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? What did Peter say? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. You see, Peter saw Jesus as more than just a physical Messiah. It took him a while, granted, but he saw him as more than just a human Messiah. He saw him more than just as an anointed prophet. He saw him more than as the Son of David. He saw him as whom? The Son of the living God. Excuse me. For Jesus to be God, he has to be born of God. Joseph, a man, and Mary, a woman, could not produce God. And he's not born by the natural human process. Look if you would, at Luke chapter 1. And this is the one main scripture, I think, that stands out, and that's verse 35 and 30 or 34 and 35. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Makes sense. That's a good question, don't you think? You're telling me I'm gonna have a child. Time out. Not possible. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And the word overshadow is the idea of a cloud enveloping. And so she really didn't know when this happened. It just says that the Holy Spirit was going to overcome her, overshadow her, envelop her, and the child within her was going to be different. It was not going to be the result of a physical relationship. It was going to be totally different. So here's the question then, the second question. Why does this impact us so much? Excuse me. Why does this impact us so much? Well, for one, let me say this. I think when you read the Christmas story, the way we tell it, we've prettified it. And I know that's not a word, but I think we've prettified it. We have made it so romantic. And, oh, we made it a love story. You know, we've made it clean and we've made it neat. Folks, this was brutal. This long trip that Mary made, very pregnant, on a donkey, that was not a limousine. She was not living where it was flat. She was walking. She was riding that donkey, and it was not a fun thing. And then to get to an inn, knock on a door and said, "We don't have any room. Oh, by the way, we got a stable out there. Go ahead out there. Nice, clean conditions. For anybody who's OC, you're going to have a lot of problems with that one." So Joseph does what he does best. He improvises. He makes a bed for his wife. He makes a bed in a trough. He helps deliver this baby. And there was nobody else around, so it was just Joseph and Mary. And he delivers this baby, and he takes this baby, he cleans this baby up and puts it in an animal trough in a bed of straw. That does not sound very pretty to me, does it to you? And yet, it shows a beautiful picture of love. I don't think Joseph and Mary had that in the plans, do you? The virgin birth, though, of God was not an afterthought. He thought about it from the very beginning. He didn't wait till after the fall and go, "Oh man, they messed that one up. Let's put that folder aside. Here, where's Plan B folder?" No, from the very beginning, God had a plan. You want to check out John chapter 3 during the fall with the serpent and the seed. God knew it was going to happen. God planned this birth, knew there was going to be need to be a Savior, an anointed one, a Messiah. So, why does it matter that the virgin birth is so important? Why does it matter? Excuse me. There are four things that I've come up with, and these are not mine. They are from research, so I can't take credit for them. However, I will say this. I'm going to add some things because when I finished preaching to the mice this morning, which is what I call my practice because they're the only ones in here that hear, I went back to my office and said, something's not right. Something's not complete. And so I started looking some more and started praying. And as I looked, I found a couple more things I want to add to it. So I'm going to give you these four, and then we're going to kind of piece some things in there. Number one, why does it matter? Because the identity and mission of Jesus is very clear. He was born into this world. He was not born from it. He is not the product of an earthly sexual union. Jesus is both God and man, and it was accomplished so that he could accomplish what we could not. Keep that in mind. Keep that thought right there. He could accomplish what we could not. Okay? Number two, only someone perfect would be able to offer and do what we could not do. He alone is holy. God alone is holy, and only God is holy enough to die in our place. He's the only one who could be the sacrifice and would take care of the human condition, which is sin. Now here's what I want to add. Because he was born of Mary, he is fully human. Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is fully God. Because he was born holy, he is sinless in thought and word and deed, and thus he is fully qualified to be our Savior. That's it in a nutshell. I want to repeat that. He was born of Mary. He he's fully human. Because he was born of God, or conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was fully God. And because he was born holy, he is sinless in thought and word and deed, and therefore he is fully qualified to be our Savior. That's why I said what I did right there. Only someone special could do and take care of what we could not. Number three, the virgin birth shows us the master plan of God from the very beginning. We've laid the groundwork the last 2 weeks. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. And Matthew tells us it means God with us. We looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, that he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Those prophecies were 400 to 700 years before the birth of Jesus. It's his plan to have a Messiah, to do what we could not do. And that leads us to number four. The virgin birth is a miracle. Miracles are God's way of commanding our attention. They help people understand and to see a truth they might not otherwise see. When Jesus healed in his ministry, all of a sudden people saw, hey, here's a guy. We've known him to be lame from birth. What's he doing running around? I know him. He's blind. But he's seeing now. You see, that miracle was to command their attention to show Jesus had the power and the ability that he was who he said he was. To me, the virgin birth is like a giant trumpet blast from heaven that says, the king is here. And he is different than anything that you've ever seen. There are three things I'd like to add, excuse me, before I close. Number one, Jesus' life comes to us as a seamless whole. You take it all or you reject it all. There are not parts of Jesus' life that you can accept and part of it you can reject. You can't say, I like that part of him, so hey, I'm going to stick with that one, but nah, I don't like that part. No, you take it as a seamless whole. You accept it all or you reject it all. Number two, it forces us to confront what we believe about Jesus. The virgin birth forces us to confront what we believe about Jesus. You can't be neutral on this subject, folks. You can't say, "Yeah, maybe, meh, maybe not." You've got to make a choice. And finally, the virgin birth teaches us, and this is so important, that our salvation is entirely supernatural. We cannot save ourselves. That's what the virgin birth teaches us. Something so simple. It teaches us that we all need a Savior. So let me close with one last quote from J.I. Packer. The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. A hope of pardon, a hope of peace with God, and a hope for glory. The message that we have, folks, yes, it's a message of love, but it's also truly a message of hope. I know people, you know people, who go through this Christmas season and have no hope. The virgin birth shows that Jesus is the answer to that hopeless existence. That he is the answer to every question that a person has. That he is the answer to life. That he is the answer to love. He is the answer to hopelessness. He is the answer to emptiness, and it's all wrapped up because God became flesh and lived among us. And we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and lived among us. Folks, I'm going to say it again. You cannot be neutral about who Jesus is. And you cannot be neutral about his birth. You cannot say, I like all the trappings of Christmas, but he's a mythology. You cannot say, I really like the manger, but that baby there? Yeah, I'm not sure about him. It's all wrapped together. Because his life is like a seamless tapestry. And you take it all, or you reject it all. There are a lot of people today who think they know a lot. And I want to say that boldly. They think they know a lot. Who want to say only certain parts of the Bible are true. Only certain parts of the gospel are true. Only certain parts of Jesus' life are true. The rest of it is you can just throw it out the window. There's a saying for that. Much learning doth make thee mad. Jesus is who he says he is. And it hinges on the virgin birth. I hope and pray that if you have questions about this, that you will investigate it and you will study it. That you won't throw it out and throw the baby out with the bathwater. But you'll realize how important it is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That he's fully God. He's fully man. And he came here to do what you and I could not do. And that's have salvation. Because we cannot do it ourselves. As we go to communion time this morning, I want you to think about your relationship to this subject, to understand that the man on the cross didn't come as an adult. He came as a baby. But he came knowing why he came. And he came knowing that ultimately he was going to a cross for sins that were not his, to pay a price for me and for you. So as you are being served communion this morning, think that through. And ask yourself, what do I believe about the birth of Christ? Do I believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do I believe that he was born of a virgin? That he was conceived miraculously? And that he came to do what I cannot do? And then as you take communion together, as we take communion together, you seal the deal, so to speak, by remembering the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You'll be served communion, then we'll take it together.